We'll have our first Matariki holiday this week. It'll shift each year to align with the Māori lunar calendar, Maramataka, but it'll always be on a Friday. The star cluster Matariki has a number of names across cultures, the Pleiades most commonly, the Seven Sisters, the daughters of Atlas who held up the sky. But that is Greek mythology, and we have our own.
Waiti waita wai punarangi tupuanuku tupuarangi ko ururangi te potiki o te whanu Matariki.
The stars of Matariki, Miriam Akamo has written, together with Waikato University's Dr. Rangi Matamua, the book Matariki. The new book, Matariki Around the World. And Rangi has already written Matariki, the Star of the Year. And Miriama has already written The Stolen Stars of Matariki. And she does not need much introduction. The host of TVNZ's flagship current affairs show, Sunday, of course. And before that, a pretty stellar career in media encompassing shows like 2020 Tonight. Marae, of course, still, and Kiwi Living in recent times. Morena.
Morena.
This is your on-air day. It's been a busy few days for, yeah. for you, I know, so thank you for coming in. How did your M9 event go, by the way, at the Civic in Auckland on Friday night?
Oh, it was so much fun. So it was like, yeah, Matariki 9, nine Māori women speaking about their lives and not a one-off, it's actually a series, but it was one night to begin a series of talks, and it was just magic being able to listen to them.
Yeah, there's some pretty powerful and distinguished names there.
Yeah.
Matariki Around the World is a handsome book.
Thank you. I'm just glancing
behind me at it. Mata Ariki, actually, we've contracted it, haven't we?
So there's different stories. So Matariki being basically, so we talk about them being the little eyes and so on. So that's a contraction.
Little eyes or eyes of God.
Yeah, yeah. So it comes from that story of Tawhiri Matia getting really cross at his siblings and then throwing his eyes up to Ranginui and them sticking to his chest and becoming the cluster that we know as Matariki now.
Yeah, the story of it starts off romantically and then gets a bit grisly in the telling regarding those eyes.
I know, it starts so lovely, doesn't it? It's like, oh, they loved each other so much, Ranginui and Papa Tuanuku, and they're cuddling, and then the kids are like, nah, we're not having this. Yeah.
Some iwi call this time of year poanga.
Yeah, so along the west coast, so I'm both Ngaitahu down in the South Island and from a Taranaki tribe called Ngāti Mutunga.
Yes.
And across that west coast, Puanga is the star that is more readily associated with the new year. But it's really just because Matariki doesn't rise up above those, you know, those mountains behind them. So,
okay.
Yeah.
There's an optimal time to see them, which can be tricky. I've been down on the beach before dawn, you know, squinting at the bottom of the sky, and you need a clear early morning, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. Yeah, it's one of the interesting things, too, about when we see them is that it's affected by so many different things, like where you are in the country and what are the atmospheric conditions like, and so many little fishhooks and being able to see them. But that's why, you know, they were so important, and the way that they rose and the way that they appeared to iwi just told so much about the year ahead.
I know, so many stories. The Matariki stars were used by the crews of Voyaging Waka. We've talked a lot on the show, actually, about the deep sea navigators, and they are in your book. So quite a bit of Mataranga Māori knowledge came from both the sea and the sky.
Yeah, yeah. So our early navigators used all of the natural elements in the tai or the environment to help decide when was the right time to sail or to plant or to harvest or to fish. And all of these, yeah, so all of this knowledge, this incredible mātauranga has arisen over, you know, generations and generations and generations. One of the things I love to say is that this is not ancient mātauranga that we now celebrate as a lovely little whakaaro now, like, oh, isn't that nice? Actually, you know, I argue that it's as vital now as it's ever been, and arguably more so as we go into the climate crisis. And so, I'm not an expert on Matariki at all. I'm not. Rangi Mātāmua is. And I've had the pleasure of being able to learn from him as we've written this book, learn more and more. But I would love to really get into this mātauranga and try and make it matter in my life every day.
I'll get to how it figures in your life this year. In English, the Pleiades or the Seven Sisters, the Hawaii name is Makali'i, or Eyes of Royalty. In Japan, Subaru or Subaru, meaning gathered together. All these are in your book. Were there stories that entranced you more than others?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love the Scandinavian stories of the Vikings. And I really, yeah, I was really interested in the Japanese story as well, in Subaru, and understanding those, the different variations of the Matariki story that come out of Japan. And it's probably important that I say that it was quite tricky getting those stories right and making sure that we were representing them correctly. So Rangi's got a lot of amazing contacts across the world, other astronomers that he was able to talk to, and where we couldn't find somebody that we could talk to, we chose stories that were most the most told of all those stories, and so the most readily available versions of these stories. And so the story that we have in Japan, there are slight variations in the story that we've told as well that are available too.
In Japan, the stars are jewels, I
yes,
think.
Yes, yeah.
And in Scandinavia, which you mentioned, the stars look to them like chicks.
Yes.
Yeah. And they've been interpreted as a mother and her daughters. It's interesting how it's nearly always daughters, isn't it?
I know. I find that really interesting too. Seven sisters, seven daughters. I don't know. But that was one of the really interesting things in researching this, was how often that comes up.
The mother is Matariki in this part of the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waipunarangi, which we heard mentioned in the song, associated with the rain. Let's get into the sustainability kind of associations. Urarangi star associated with the winds. Actually, I didn't know Māori had hundreds of names for the winds.
Yeah, there are so, like Hauoru, for example, from, you know, there are so many, hundreds. So Ririata Makiha, who's worked very closely with Professor Rangi Mātāmua over the years and also on this public holiday, he is the expert in this space. And so there are words for winds from the east, or a wind that's howling up from the south, or, from the west, the north, and winds that come off the sea and winds that come off the land. And, you know, so there's, as we said, hundreds and hundreds of words. And what I love about that is anyone that thinks that there's a limited number of words in te reo Māori will be, surprised, I think, to realise that actually it's a very deep and sophisticated language, and no less sophisticated than any other language on this planet.
And you're talking to somebody who struggles at times to know where the wind is coming from, actually. So, yes, there's a fantastic degree of sophistication. Hiwa Iterangi is one of the nine stars, and it's the wishing star, the youngest star, I think it's referred to. That is the one we'd be keen to find in the sky, the wishing star.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the star that when you are looking to the year ahead, what do you hope for? What do you wish for? And when I was talking to Rangi about it, he was like, you know, it'd be really easy. And he actually put a challenge in the book to the readers saying, you could, of course, wish for things like a new toy or a new car or whatever, but how about if we use this opportunity to start thinking about our wishes and our dreams for each other and for the planet? So for him and for me, the climate crisis is a really, this is a very serious issue that we all need to engage in. And I see the Matariki framework as a beautiful way to actually be able to engage in that mātauranga and to be able to act from it.
In your previous book, two of the stars are stolen by naughty fairies, aren't they?
yeah, exactly. Again, I spoke to Rangi when I wrote that book and said to him, I want to do this story where two of the stars go missing, and I'm thinking maybe I'll use the twins Waiti and Waita. And he said, well, why don't you use the two that have been most recently identified and celebrated, which is Pohutukawa and Hiwa Iterangi. And so it was a perfect piece of advice, because it also became a way of being able to describe why those stars hadn't been seen, or acknowledged rather, as readily as the other seven stars, because they've been stolen out of the sky.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Well, there are all the community activities, but in Hapu, I understand it's been a time to remember those who've died. And this year for you, that is very personal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I lost my dad on day one of lockdown in August last year. and we weren't able to have a tangi for us. It was a deeply shocking time, a very upsetting time. For Māori, of course, and for anyone that loses someone, you want to honour them right away. And as we know, for Māori, we do it over 3 days, roughly 3 days. But Dad had to be taken away immediately from the hospital, and we didn't get to see him again. I haven't seen him since, only over camera, you know, over cameras and videos and filming and that kind of thing. So it was a really hard and awful time. Yeah. So, but what it means though for, and this was a beautiful gift that Rangi gave me. He said, in this book, how about you take my acknowledgement space and acknowledge your dad instead, because he will, according to our customs, he will be released into the stars this Matariki with the others that have passed in the last year. He'll be released into the stars by Pohutukawa, and also there's another variation of that story, Taramai Nuku, who's an atua who collects the souls of those who have passed. And then they go into the heavens and become stars themselves.
So Taramai Nuku may gather your dad in his net.
He already has, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and he'll be released as the cluster rises.
I think a lot of people know the story of your father, beloved to you, but also interesting to read about him. I haven't had time to see the Stuff story this morning, but he was such a musician. I mean, his will be a star that sings.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Jim. That's a beautiful thought. Yeah, he was a double bass player and quite well known in the Christchurch South Island scene in his day, and indeed across the country. So he was a beautiful man. Yeah, and we miss him.
Yeah, and he played with a lot of very well-known musicians too.
He did, yeah. He was a bit of a go-to double bassist.
Yeah, he must have been very good. So Matariki has this association, which you've touched on, with good living, sustainable living, environmental consciousness, committed to whānau, of course. We were talking about vegetables earlier in the morning. You are the picture of health. You switched to a plant-based diet, actually. Has it made a difference?
It really did. So it was November 2 years ago, when my daughter, randomly, I don't know why, she said to me, dare you to eat vegetables for a month? And I was like, no, yeah, I'm up for a challenge. In fact, my latest challenge is to try and learn to do the splits.
Oh, really?
It's totally ridiculous, isn't it? But I'm up for ridiculous challenges. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And after about 7 to 10 days, this back pain that I'd lived with for years, it was like broken glass in my back, disappeared.
Ah.
And I was like, is that to do with what I'm not eating? I'm going to stick to this because I'm a complete sugar addict.
Yeah.
And so I stuck to it, and I haven't had back pain in 2 years. After living with it for 20 years. So I'm a convert. Having said that, I have added back some things. So I will eat white meats again now, just not that often. I eat salmon again, not that often. But, it's been fabulous. I don't want to ever go back there again.
Sunday, what a success. The secret, as I've heard you say, is local stories. I mean, they rate better than the overseas ones. And the thing is, and Matariki is an example, I think, we value those stories more now. We used to devaluate some of our stories, certainly our levels of sophistication and accomplishment, Māori and Pākehā stories, and that has changed.
That has really changed, hasn't it? It's been awesome. I've loved watching this evolution. And we used to have such cultural cringe around who we were. So local stories weren't as popular as the foreign stories way, you know, back in the day. I'm talking about 20, 15 years ago, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, that's what people want to see. We want to see ourselves reflected. We want to see this, the ideas that are exercising us all out there so we can consider them and discuss them. So that's been wonderful to see.
Television is such an ephemeral medium, and you've managed personally to make that seem not so. But a lot of people are there and then they're gone. Famous shows are forgotten faster now. But we saw Sunday turn 20 this year. It's going to be country calendar mark too, isn't it, Sunday?
Well, I mean, I would love that. I would love Sunday to go and go and go. And one of the exciting things for me in my stage of this stage of my career is to see the young ones coming through and to mentor and support them and to know that we're building a succession plan so that Sunday when I leave, we'll just keep on going. That's my dearest hope, that it always goes on, just as you say, like Country Calendar has.
You can't see it disappearing.
Don't want to, yeah.
The Christchurch quakes, the shootings at the mosques, Pike River, is it those stories that will stick with you, you know, when you look back in another 20 years' time, or is it the quieter ones as well. You must have lots of memories of what you've seen.
Yeah, there's a mix, definitely. I mean, one of the biggest stories for me was the Porirua Hospital story, which was very similar to Lake Alice, where young ones were put, teenagers, children, alongside the country's most ill, mentally ill people, because supposedly we didn't have enough beds and, you know, social welfare homes and that sort of thing, residential homes. So, you know, these children that were absolutely traumatised in so many horrific ways, who we now see in this Royal Commission of Inquiry into state abuse and care, and into abuse and care, rather. And, you know, 20 years ago, that was one of my first stories, was hearing those Porirua stories. And so to see it coming to this point is both horrifically sad and satisfying, knowing that they're finally getting to have their stories properly heard.
Yeah, that was a powerful story. You approach them, the stories you did have done, with a Māori world view. When you talk to people, you want to know about their backstories and where they come from. I've read that.
Yeah.
And I've sometimes thought that if denoting tribe is routine for Māori, it could become a New Zealand thing across the board in some shape or form, whatever that would be, because we all want to know that when we meet people.
Yeah.
And it's a great way of getting relevant information instantly, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, you really want to know. Well, I have a sense of, if you're going to sit down with someone and they've given you the privilege of telling them their story, whether you like them or not is beside the point. The fact is that you are sitting down with somebody who has taken time out of their lives to tell their story, and they've trusted you to be that person. So that deserves some respect. And that Māori worldview is that you don't sit down with an individual. You sit down with the person and everything that they bring with them, and everyone that they bring with them, and whatever has shaped them. And so I'm really interested in that about people. I really want to... I want to know about how they think and how they feel and what's brought them to this point. That's, to me, not just fascinating, but a respectful way to approach an interviewee.
Matariki, Around the World is a book. Who was your illustrator again? I'm just reaching for the book.
The amazing Isabel Joy Te Ahu White. Oh, she is sensational. She's got... she also illustrated a book that Witi Maida has out at the moment called The Astromancer. And so Izzy has two books that are doing really, really well with her amazing illustrations in them. She's incredible.
Yeah, I said at the start, it's a very handsome book. What is your favourite Matariki star? Can you have one? Do you have one?
Well, I mean, I think I'm particularly fond of Pohutukawa and of Hiwi Itarangi because of them being in my first book and playing such important characters. And then, of course, this Matariki, Pohutukawa, is the star that looks after those who have passed. So that's a particular interest to me right now with my dad. But also Hiwi Itarangi, I will definitely be sending those dreams and wishes that we all engage in the environmental challenges that we have ahead and act on them.
Manawatia a Matariki.
Ai, me koe hoki.
Let's celebrate Matariki. You've changed a lot since you were the small girl who wouldn't speak outside the house, and now you korero into hundreds of thousands of houses.
Yeah. I was a very, very painfully shy kid. I think I'm still quite a, I don't know, I know I am. I'm a very shy adult. Maybe that gives me some, empathy for people when I sit down with them, knowing that it's not an easy thing to sit down and tell your story. And I, you know, because I still feel like that in many ways. But I've taken a job that requires some responsibility, and so I have to step up to the plate.
Mate Atua, thank you for coming, and lovely to see you again.
Oh, and you, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
Maria Makamo on RNZ National, Sunday morning.